T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know who always likes a big bottle of tequila in his life? The one and only Tony Bruno.
Don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
Yes, it happened. Tony, you are talking to a brand new, happily married Damon Bruce. How are you?
Well, congratulations. You've made marriage great again. Half a week after the election.
Thank you very much. I believe both parents are looking up how to make annulment great for the first time.
But DJ Ajax, now was he busting out on any electric? Did you do it? Now it's an East Coast thing. All the slide dancers, the electric slide, the cha-cha slide. Do they do that at weddings on the West Coast?
Not only did I forbade him from doing that, I said, if you play a single Black Eyed Peas song, I will unplug you myself.
Hey, we did have the conga, or, you know, Gloria Estefan. There was a conga line.
Did you have a conga line?
Yes, there was a conga line.
See, I approve of all conga lines. That's fine. It's not like the staple. We weren't going to do the chicken dance. We didn't even do a bouquet toss. Basically, like any great radio segment, Tony, we trimmed the fat and we just went right to the content.
Exactly right. Nothing but the hits. But no slides, huh? The cha-cha slide and the electric slide are just two absolute, no doubt about it, kill it at any wedding. Staples. I mean, classics.
I know. We avoided the classics. We did. We kind of.
How about Macarena? You didn't bust out a Macarena?
There was no Macarena.
Nope. No Macarena.
There, anything that had like a systematic, easy for white people to dance to thing, we eliminated. We didn't boot scoot boogie. There's no line dancing.
No line dancing. No country dances. No cowboy dances. No white people dances.
No. By the way, the only thing that left over that is really white is now the Tequila Blanco Espolón that DJ Ajax
pretty sick
just gave me, Tony. And
I heard that. I got a bottle. I just got a nice bottle of Milagro Añejo, which is the amber-colored tequila, which is very fine as well.
Oh, that sounds lovely. But it is fitting that you and I both have access to bottles of tequila because, Tony, the Oakland Raiders, and you are Mr. Monday Night, let's not forget, in less than a week, head to Mexico City to take on the Houston Texans, the Raiders. Mexico City Monday Night, Tony. How exciting is that?
It's going to be awesome. Speaking of tequila, speaking of all the other great things you can do when you go to Mexico City. You know, unbelievable. Monday night and the Raiders at home, 6-point favorites, the opening line. As a home team in Mexico.
Yeah, you know, it's cool that they're doing this, but it's also a little bit of a shame that it's happening right now because a Monday night game at the Coliseum would have just been electric. I mean, now 70,000 people at Estadio Azteca. Also going to be fantastic, and there's no doubt that that is going to be a leaning heavily Raiders crowd down there. I'm sure of it. But it is kind of a shame that this one won't happen at the Coliseum. It's still a great chance for the Raiders. They got an opportunity to go 8-2. Brock Osweiler, now another handful of subpar quarterbacks that they get to get their defense on the same page against, and it's starting to happen. I really think they're going to the playoffs full steam ahead out of the toughest division in all football. Tony, the AFC West so far has combined for 25 wins this season.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And, you know, look at the AFC, NFC East, you know, which has been a bad conference for many years, has pretty strong top to bottom as well. But we were talking about the Patriots after they got I wouldn't say exposed, but they lost at home to a team that's gotten stronger now in the Seattle Seahawks as we head to the second half of the season now. So you look at the AFC, right now the Raiders, I mean, I'm not throwing New England out with the bathwater because they lost to Seattle, but the Raiders are right there, man. We talked about it last week. You look in the AFC, how many teams can you say right now are head and shoulders better than the Raiders? The Pittsburgh Steelers, you saw their defense get absolutely torched by the Dallas Cowboys, who probably are the best team in football. And I've been saying this for a month. But the Dallas Cowboys are clearly the best team. Who's the second best? And where are the Raiders have to be top five?
I tell you, it really feels like that Seahawks-Patriots game was a little bit of a Super Bowl preview. Now, Injuries can happen. I got a lot of season left. We'll see what the Raiders do to ascend more in the AFC. I mean, for really, you know, to pick the Raiders as a real Super Bowl contender, expanding way beyond their playoff participation, this defense has to start firing on a lot of cylinders that are indicators of real Super Bowl credibility. Like, you cannot be giving up 7 yards per play and expect to be given a Super Bowl consideration. But I'll tell you, this is a very interesting team that still could be a whole lot better before the end of the season. And they still got more money to spend. I saw this. Jason Lock and Forrest cited sources saying that the Raiders are the only team yet to reach their spending threshold mandate in the CBA, which means the club has a few months to spend the required money itself. Otherwise, the NFLPA will do it for them. Now, I don't know if that means adding a taxi squad guy or signing somebody off the street, but that's sort of a weird thing. We still don't even know what the final Raiders are going to look like.
No, you're right, and that's a great point. But the other thing, you know, when I talk about, when I say, are they a top five team right now? You know how we have the college football ratings, and then we have the power rankings, and the Raiders, I haven't looked at the latest power rankings, although the Power Ranger movie looks pretty good, the one that they're doing next year.
Nice.
Although I was never really a big Power Ranger fan. But the Raiders have to be top five, and I know that doesn't mean anything at the end of the year, but as we make the turn here into the second half of the season, to be a team that's on the come, so to speak, and I know they try to win. They win in Houston. They win at home in Mexico against Houston. That's 8 wins. Nobody's looking at that as, well, that's one more win than all of last year. You're absolutely right. They've got to win 10, 11 games, 12 games maybe, and then you're talking, you know what? They could be heading back to Houston.
Hey, look.
Not the Houston that they play.
They could get
Super Bowl.
Right. They could get Mario Edwards Jr. back. They could have Aldon Smith before this whole thing is said and done. I mean, there is more cavalry coming for a team that's already charging in the right direction. The one and only Tony Bruno joining us today. I know it's hard for you, of all people, to give a cowboy a compliment, but if you're looking for a leader, and not everyone leads from the front, sometimes you got to lead from behind. That's what Tony Romo did today, where he basically handed the reins to Dak the rest of the way, formally, with a gracious, I'm a fantastic teammate speech. And let me tell you what Tony also guaranteed. He guaranteed himself a future offensive coordinator gig, and I guarantee you in the next 15 years, Tony Romo gets named the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys at some point, if that's where he wants to take his career.
But the other question is, you're right, and what he did today was classy, and he did all the right things and everything you want. You know, he loved the game, he loved his team. It was heartfelt. It wasn't fake. He wasn't reading from a prepared statement. I mean, the guy knows that you can't take the reins away from Dak Prescott. And now, you know, the question is, will he even be with the Dallas Cowboys next year? Maybe after his career is over, do you see a scenario where he goes somewhere else next year?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think where Romo goes to play.
How about your Chicagoland area Bears?
That is the first team that comes to mind.
Illinois guy.
Yeah, that's a team that comes to mind. Of course, Niner fans are hoping that they'll see Tony Romo attached to them, but I just don't think Tony Romo is going to look to come to a massive rebuilding project. Not that the Chicago Bears are great shakes, but at least there's more talent there than there is here. I could see the Bears. Look at it this way. Maybe Trevor Siemian isn't the long-term. Maybe the Denver Broncos try to play the Peyton Manning salvage a guy's career at the end, part two, electric boogaloo.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, you look around. I mean, I'm looking at some of the teams out, like Arizona, Carson Palmer. You know, he's in the last year of his contract in Arizona. You know, you mentioned Denver. They already have Siemian and Paxton Lynch. And Tony Romo, though, Dallas, there's no way Dallas is paying him $14 million to hold a clipboard next year, I don't think.
I don't think so either. LeBron said that he lost respect for Phil Jackson after saying that LeBron rolls with a posse. And I got to be honest with you. I never have been one to attach any racial slant to the word posse, because I've also, when you say posse, I think of a whole bunch of cowboys riding off to get an outlaw too. Like, I don't. So to me, I've never associated it with there is a racial coding. But I guess there is, and LeBron certainly thought there was. And as condescending as Phil Jackson has proved himself to be, maybe, just maybe, there was. What do you think of the word posse?
Well, I think modern day, you're right. Guys roll with posses into the club, and you know, when they go in and get bought. But it's not just white guys. Again, I'm not trying to say, I don't know. I doubt Phil Jackson's a racist. I doubt he meant that the posse meant that it was just a bunch of black guys hanging out in Miami instead of going back to Cleveland or whatever. And his agent is upset because he was with him, and he mentioned his mom too. But I think it was a question. Again, I'm trying to put myself in Phil Jackson's head, which I can't go into.
Right.
A, because I don't live in Montana, and I don't smoke the amount copious amounts of weed that Phil has been known to partake, even though it's becoming legal now.
It's peyote, Tony. He has moved on to peyote years ago, and we all know.
You're right about that, yeah. Right. But the whole thing, everybody's upset. LeBron's upset about something that was said in ESPN, the magazine, where he's talking about Pat Riley allowed LeBron to be the star and do what he wants to do. And so that's where it came from. And while he went, you know, he's hanging out with his posse instead of going with the team. You're supposed to be with the team. Get back on. Don't stay with your mom and your posse in Miami. Go back with the team the night after the game. So that's where it all came from an interview with Phil Jackson talking about Pat Riley when he was down in Miami and how LeBron left and went back to Cleveland. But to me, if that's what LeBron thinks, that's his right to think that. But I don't really think that Phil Jackson was trying to point out as posse as a, yeah, he's just hanging out with a bunch of brothers down in Miami.
Right. Well, and even if that's indeed what he was doing, I just don't think that there's any insult really there. And I was listening to Chris Broussard talk about this with Colin Cowherd today, and he basically said, all right, let me ask you this. If you were talking about Joe Lacob rolling down the hallway with Bob Myers and a whole bunch of guys from the Warriors front office, you'd never say, here comes Joe Lacob and his posse. And I thought, okay, maybe. But then I remembered this. Sir Mix-a-Lot's Posse on Broadway.
Me and Kid Sensation at home, away from home, in the black Benz limo with a cellular phone.
And then I couldn't be mad at the word posse anymore. Because this is a big part of my...
When I go out and I hung out with a bunch of friends, like Andrew Siciliano and guys, we were all in L.A., you know, at ESPN. We would have the Bruno Bash after the show. I would consider those people my posse.
That's a posse.
Certainly, and most of them were white guys. So I don't think, again, you mentioned Cowboys and stuff, and nobody talks about except the Dallas Cowboys because they may be the best team in football. But most modern-day posse speak is normally about black guys hanging out. But I don't think it's exclusive because I've rolled with posses myself in my day.
Everyone needs a good posse. Don't ever count out a great posse to get you where you need to go in life. I thank you for being part of the show's posse. Thank you very much, Tony Bruno.
How was the wedding posse, by the way? Did you roll afterwards, or did you just go, you and the wife disappear? Because now, when I got married, back in the day, the bride and groom would like go around, collect the envelopes, and leave before the party ended. Now the bride and groom stay right through the end of the wedding, and then they do an after party.
We did. That's what we did. We went to the after party. We were having so much fun. Here's the thing, Tony. We went from 3:30 to 8:30, so it ended a little early. So everyone was still in the mood to go do something. So that's what we did. We went out and did something. And then, of course, we Weston St. Francis, Tony. And in case you're wondering if things were consummated, well.
Pound it, pound it, pound it, pound it.
Man's got to fulfill his husbandly duties. You know what I mean? You're amazing. Thank you very much,
Tony. Did you
look
across the street? Did you look right across the street there at my buddy John Handler there at the Handler Union Square Hotel while you were out looking out?
I did. And I thought to myself, but for her Starwood points, we might be there. And Tony, thank you very much.
All right, man. We'll see you next week.
You're the best. Thank you so much. The one and only fabulous Tony Bruno.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.